So, my dear brothers and sisters, today I'm going to conclude the series of homilies that I've been doing since the beginning of November. And my hope is, because as a priest, God uses you to speak to the people, but you never really know how much you're listening to me. Or not to me, but God speaking through me. So my hope is that these last few weeks have been a help, first in understanding the Mass and regaining an appreciation for exactly what we are here to celebrate. And so I hope that we have grown for a deeper appreciation for the Mass. And my other hope is that we have also grown in a deeper appreciation for the Eucharist. In these last few weeks, we've been speaking about the Eucharist as a sacrament of charity. We've been speaking about what are the impediments to climbing the mountain of the Lord, to charity. And today I want to kind of come full circle and really speak about how in the Eucharist we receive this charity. And how is this charity received? It's received through relationship, because that is what the Eucharist is. It is a relationship with God. God allows himself to become part of us so that he can dwell with us and we can dwell with him. In the opening prayer, we prayed this beautiful prayer, which said, "Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, your Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection." So what is the grace? You know, we're asking the Lord, pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace. What is the grace that God wants to give us? Well, God wants to give us many graces, but mainly the Eucharist is a sacrament of charity, because the charity that God, the grace that God wants to fill us with is love. That is, that when we receive the Eucharist in a worthy way, God fills us with charity. God fills us with love. God gives us the grace not only to experience the love that he has for us, but that same grace that we carry with us is so that we can love also our neighbor. Well, because as you can see, as I'm sure you have experienced, as many times as we may want to say it's easy to love the our neighbor, if we're really honest, it's not so easy to love the neighbor. It's not so easy to love the one who is to love the one who is sitting next to you. We need grace for that. And that it is the incarnation, which now we are celebrating this fourth Sunday of Advent, and this coming weekend we'll celebrate Christmas, we'll celebrate this incarnation in which Christ becomes man. Why? So to fight for us, to go to war for us, so that we can have this grace, so that this Eucharist can transform our lives. God sends his Son. We are going to celebrate in this Christmas that God sends his Son to dwell, to be with us as a gift. But also, and so this Christmas, we will celebrate the birth of Christ, the physical birth of Christ, but also every Mass we celebrate the incarnation. How? in the fact that the bread and the wine become the body and blood of Christ. And that food that we receive, many times the church, when we speak about the Eucharist, we call it food for the journey, because the Eucharist is meant to give us strength, to give us grace. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, what material food produces in our bodily life, Holy Communion wonderfully achieves in our spiritual life. Communion with the flesh of the risen Christ, a flesh given life and giving life through the Holy Spirit, preserves, increases, and renews the gift of grace received at baptism. And I think this is something that we can all relate to, because I think now more than ever we live in a society that is very careful about what we eat. And why are we careful about what we eat? For the heck of it? No, I think we're careful about what we eat because if we don't eat well, what's going to happen? We become a little bit like Father Joe. I know that's what you're saying, okay. But it's not healthy to eat junk food every day. Right? No, it is. It's not, and so we're careful about what we eat because we know that it affects our body. In the same way, receiving the Eucharist affects us. Not just our body, but it touches our very soul, and it preserves and increases and renews the life of grace that we received at baptism. That's why receiving the Eucharist is so important. That's why daily consumption of the Eucharist is important, because it feeds the seed that was given to us in baptism. And that seed is meant to produce fruit. But my dear brothers and sisters, if we don't stay close to the Eucharist, then it's hard for it to produce fruit in us. It's hard for us to receive the grace that we need, because as I was saying, we know that we need the grace of God to handle many of life's situations. There's a lot going on out there. There's a lot going on in our own lives. And if we're honest with ourselves, we need all the help we can get. And so that help is given to us, so that we can, and this is why if we were listening today to this first reading from the prophet Isaiah, because it doesn't give us a historical context, it's a little bit difficult to understand. But what has happened is Ahaz is the king when the Babylonians are sitting on the walls of Jerusalem, and they've got Jerusalem cut off completely. So in that time, the way that you conquered a city was that you cut it off so that they starved. And eventually, you didn't have to breach the walls. You didn't have to waste, lives. You could just sit outside of the gate so nobody could come in and come out and starve them to death. And so that would usually mean that they would give up, because, of course, they don't want to die of starvation. So what happens is Isaiah goes to Ahaz and says, look, you're in this situation, ask help from the Lord. And Ahaz, the answer he gives is a little bit convoluted, but in essence what Ahaz is saying, no, I'm not going to use God for that. I don't need God for that. And so he doesn't ask for help. And Isaiah, in the prophecy, he says, the help is coming. Even though you won't ask for it, even though you're being stubborn, the help will come. And that help will be Emmanuel. That is God with us. And my dear brothers and sisters, all of this is to help us say one thing. Let's stop being stubborn. know, we have an amazing capacity for stubbornness. Maybe not. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe. It's possible. It's possible that I'm projecting me on you, but I doubt it. I think we have an amazing capacity to be stubborn. And we don't allow the Lord to be with us because we are like Ahaz. We say, no, I can handle it. I got it. I've got it. I can do it. And how well has that gone for me and you? Exactly how well has that gone? It's not going so well. That's why we need all the help we can get. And so this is why Christ being born, this Emmanuel, this God with us, is this incarnation that we are going to celebrate is that Christ is going to abide with us, not only in his birth, but also he abides with us in every Eucharist. He sits with us and he gives us his graces and he is waiting there for us to ask, to put our defenses down, to understand that our ways are not working. They're not working. So let's stop hitting our heads against the wall. Because God is already there for us. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, as we prepare celebrate this great feast of Christmas, let us truly allow the Lord to be born for us, to abide with us, but also as we come forward to receive the Eucharist, let us allow the Lord to transform our lives, because that's what the Eucharist wants to do. It wants to transform us so that we can bring that transformation to the world. The only question is, will we allow God to transform us? Let us stand and profess our faith.